Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Football on off the ball.
When we're at this low ebb, I think we need, to be honest, not just an Irish manager, but like some legend who's achieved something.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the Koigig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here, and we are going to take you through all the happenings in Irish football, both here at home and across the water in England, where there's been some very interesting Champions League and WSL fixtures since we last talked to you. We also have an Ireland squad coming up this week, a squad announcement. Carla Ward is doing that on Wednesday ahead of those playoff fixtures against Belgium coming up in a couple of weeks' time. But first, we have to address some very important news that came out over the weekend, and that is Karen Duggan finally retiring from Piemont.
I know. It's only been about 5 years in the making.
Well, it was funny last week because there was something you said. I don't know what we were talking about. When you said it, I was like, I think Karen's going to retire this season. And I meant to say it to you once we finished recording, just to be like, oh, is this actually happening? And then I saw the news at the weekend and it was the first thing that came into my head. How are you feeling?
Fine. I mean, I was a little bit emotional. I didn't expect to be emotional because, like, you know, it's like it's been a long time coming. I've been in the league for about 14 years or something like that. It's not exactly a surprise, but I guess when you take stock of everything, it does kind of hit you. And like, you have to, time catches up on everyone. And I've been very, very lucky injury-wise to have never been out through injury. I was still playing. I'm going out on my own terms. So yeah, I'm not that sad about football, but like, I'm obviously sad about Piemont because, you know, like that's completely been my social outlet for years and years now, so God knows what I'll do now.
Could be you'll have no excuses the next time I invite you to drinks when you're like, oh, sorry, no, I've traded or I've a match.
I know. That's what the people at work said as well, because I always used to use the old training excuse for the skipping out on the Thursday get-togethers, but they're gone now, so I'll have to replace my time with something, hopefully not all going out, but something constructive. But yeah, it was lovely. Like, I didn't really feel like I needed to announce it as well, because at the end of the day, I'm an amateur footballer giving up a pastime. But Piemont wanted to acknowledge it, and I'm kind of glad I did as well, because it gave me a chance to, you know, I guess acknowledge everything that they've done for me as well, which has been amazing over the years. So yeah, and start a new chapter, I guess.
Yeah, well, I know you say you feel like you didn't have to announce it being like an amateur footballer and it's a hobby, but if you read any of the tributes to you over the weekend from the great and the good of Irish football, that very much wasn't the vibe you were getting. You know, it was all about the contribution that you've made to Irish football, both at a national and a league level, the contribution that you've made to, I know, like a lot of the younger players coming up and how highly they all speak of you and how much they've seen you as a leader in that time. And I think we all needed it, Karen, even if you didn't need the opportunity to have a load of people tell you how great and how brilliant you were.
So the most recent one this season from
Louise Quinn as well, talking about what a remarkable achievement, and she was hoping that it was an announcement for you back into the national squad. So,
well, my Jesus, we'd have had to have a controversial conversation about Carla Ward's ability if she was thinking of doing that. No, we'll leave the selection review to the players that are up and coming. And like, it's there's going to be a transition in the league. Like, obviously there's a few of the OG crew gone now, with Rihanna, Kylie Murphy, and obviously Anya O'Gorman. We're all there kind of from the inaugural season and stuff. But you know, the league has changed in so many ways, and it hasn't changed in a lot of ways. Like, it didn't change for us, who were always staying in the league, and now it's become a stepping stone for people to kind of leave. There's been some attempts, I guess, by clubs to increase the professionalism, and that's always going to be a good thing. But yeah, it's still a work in progress. As far as my opinion on it, I think that there's definitely more steps that could be made. Be interesting to see how this 23s setup goes, and how we can use that to develop more. We need more talent coming through to feed that national team, and coming through thicker and faster than we currently are producing. So, yeah, I like. Will I miss that side of things? Not so much, but I'll certainly miss all the girls. We've had some great coaches and stuff over the year, and you know, the people at Piemont, or
Yeah.
they were the main kind of thought in my mind for the last week or so.
Don't worry, I'll make sure to keep you annoyed about all things happening in the league that aren't appropriate on the podcast and keep talking about them as well, because it is important that, you know, obviously losing your experience from the league is one thing, but also knowing you're still going to be a voice for change in some way over the coming times, and making sure that everyone from the FAI to the league to whatever it is kept on their toes when it comes to these things.
I'm sure there's a few
Scarlett.
people who are happy that
No, they're probably stressed because now you have more time for things
Yeah.
like this.
Well, the referees will get a bit of a break at least.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Scarlett, obviously, Karen's leaving, and she mentioned a couple of the other names there. Kylie, Anya, and Rihanna. I know Anya in particular, you had some nice words for her over the weekend, but what of those three and four, if you want to compliment Karen as well, but I won't make you do it to her face if you don't want to. What have they brought to the league?
Yeah, well, I think it was, we always talk about this idea of sort of role models, and that there's a growing amount of role models for young girls. And like, not blowing your trumpet, Karen, but like, when I first went to Piemont when I was 16 and went up to first team training for the first time, like, you were one of the people that I looked up to and said, like, I remember on the way home distinctly talking to my dad, like, on the way home, and saying, like, she's like Karen, like, she's such a leader. She's so, like, she'll just boss every drill, every match. Like, she gives everything 100%, and like, she's such a great character as well. Like, and the same goes for the rest of the girls, and for Anya as well. Obviously, haven't played with her the last few years, but it is, they have been those role models for my sort of generation coming through the league. And Karen talks about there that obviously they're a part of the inaugural season of the league, and how they have been the reason for change in the league in the last few years, and they're always the people who are pushing change and acknowledging that we need to do better as a league. Clubs need to do better, players need to do better, staff need to do better, in order for us as a nation to grow. And yeah, they're gonna be really, really missed. And especially like Anya, who I've been sort of playing with the last few years, like, just top pro. Such a great sort of, as I say, role model for young girls coming through, just to put your everything into it, and if you're going to do something, to do it to your 100%. And I'm sure Karen, like, Karen's the exact same. And yeah, huge, huge losses to the league, and we've seen like the tributes to the careers you've had flooring in over the weekend. So it's yeah, testament to the career you've had. And I know, Karen, you're talking about.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
You're giving up a pastime, but I think we all know that it's a lot more. Like, players in the League of Ireland, like, they give their lives to it nearly. Like, it's a massive, massive commitment that probably isn't understood enough outside the league. But yeah, I for one, as a player of the league, are really, really appreciative of everything you've done for Irish women's football, and I think the whole league would agree with me on that.
Getting all emotional over here just listening to this. Karen, how did you feel when you saw your hero Niamh Fahey saying that you're one of the greatest pros going?
Yeah, I paid her well for that one. No, like I said, like it's not something like I'd be used to taking, plaudits and stuff like that. But yeah, like you say, Scarlett, I suppose given the time and stuff that we've put in, it's nice to acknowledge it. And it, yeah, the tributes and stuff were lovely for all of us, because they're all the people that have seen what we've done. They're the people on the ground. Like you say, people from the outside might not see the work that goes in, but a lot of those tributes came in from people who, we've scrapped for to improve standards with alongside over the years. So I think that's something our generation did, because we had to kind of claw and scratch and fight for any bit of recognition that kind of gave us a grit and a determination that hopefully we've been able to pass on to a few players that we've crossed paths with over the years. But I think that's something that young players coming through can definitely learn from. I know there's a lot more given to you now in terms of the setups than what was there before, but in terms of that mentality, like you should always be looking to improve and always be looking to improve the league and the standards in your own club. And I think a bit like Scarlett has it, there's a few that have it, like, but you need there needs to be more grit and more resilience in some of the players going through if they're going to be the ones now that take the mantle in terms of driving things on with their club. So but like that, were the really good ones that we're producing, they're kind of gone from the league earlier and earlier. So young players are going to have to develop that and bring that into their game from a young age and help their clubs.
You're not totally finished yet either, because you do have a club final this weekend, is it? Still at
Yeah,
the
our
GAA. Are
Camogie
we
final.
dual star in Karen Duggan? She's not totally gone from the sporting scene.
No, and a few of the Camogie girls actually came up to watch the match, which was totally unexpected. So that was it was really lovely, because again, they've been so good in understanding that like the soccer has come first for me over the years, but they've always welcomed me back with open arms, even though like my attendance at training has been spectacularly poor, but they know that I'm putting it in elsewhere and stuff. So that was amazing to see them. I wasn't expecting it, and it kind of like having them and some family and friends there, it was a lovely way to round things off. And the match was absolutely stupid. Like it was, 3-1 up, sendings off, mad decisions, yellow card. Like
It
it
was a
was a
quite
perfect
hectic
it
weekend in
perfectly
general.
it perfectly reflected, I would say, my time at Piemont, the ups and downs and the ridiculous and the sublime and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was gas.
I mean, if you look at the fixture results from like over the weekend, I think 3-0 was the lowest scoring one. You had 3-1 between Galway DLR, 4-0 Athlone and Sligo, Waterford 3-2, your game 3-3, Rovers, Shelburne 5-4. It was a
Yeah,
spectacular weekend
everyone
of
threw caution
chaos.
to the wind when the league was wrapped up. They were just
It's
like,
like
oh.
all vibes, no defense, which seems to
Yeah,
be
I think
very
everyone
well.
else who was retiring probably scored, but I capped it off with a yellow card, which I thought was fitting as well.
Yeah, very, very fitting. Because Kylie Murphy got her hat trick, didn't she? Anya scored a lovely
Yeah.
goal too. So yeah,
Then Quinn too, yeah.
there you go.
There you go.
Karen, well, we won't put you under any more pressure talking about your retirement and how brilliant everyone thinks you is, because but you are, because I know that's not
You'll have to come up with a new name for me now. No longer Captain Karen.
I think you'll always be Captain Karen.
No.
You can be the captain of this ship.
That's you.
We will briefly touch on that squad announcement that is happening for the games against Belgium this week. The, shall we say, elusive Carlo Ward will be back in Ireland to announce the squad from, I think it's in Tallaght, it's FAIHQ or Tallaght, but I think Tallaght, on Wednesday. Are we expecting any big shakeups? Are we expecting any of the younger players to have made enough of impact? I mean, these games in terms of our World Cup qualification are quite important for next year. Scarlett, I don't know what you think.
Yeah, well, the only sort of shock I can think of is obviously Courtney probably will be out. I mean, she didn't feature at the weekend, and as far as we know, she has a knee injury, so she'd be a huge loss. So it's now seeing who will step in for her. Grace Maloney's probably the obvious one, but Sophie Whitehouse as well, and then Katie Keane, who obviously went on that emergency loan to Sheffield too. So it'd be interesting to see who Carlo would go for in goal. Obviously, Grace has kind of been like the number two, but again, hasn't got minutes in probably a few years now. So that'll be interesting to see. Well, hopefully Courtney is fit to come back, but we haven't seen too many indications that she would. So yeah, two really important games. And I'd hope to get a good crowd on Friday night in the Aviva, obviously. So it'd be really interesting. And obviously, as you said, it's a really important game as well. For the World Cup hopes, so it could be interesting. Looking forward to it.
Karen, what do you think? I mean, most of the articles that have come out since the weekend have all said exactly what Scarlett did there, that Courtney is a massive doubt for the playoffs. Denise has obviously just returned to the squad in North Carolina as well after a bit of an injury. So, two names you don't really want to have a question mark over.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
No, absolutely not. We're looking at Grace has gone to a club where she is getting game time, so she's definitely, she should be the one putting her hand up as the number two. She's been around the squad for a long time, so you'd imagine that that's what they'll go with. I don't think I'd be surprised if Carla shocked us too much. I think there are certain names that should be in the mix if you're looking at maybe backup for Denise. I guess Scarlett, you'll know, like Jess Fitzgerald, she's coming through. Maybe it's time to give her some experience in and around the squad. Similarly, because of what they've been doing and how well they've been playing, they might not be picked, but names that maybe a question could be asked is Kelly Brady. We know she has an Irish passport. She's been tearing it up for Athlone. She's really, really fast, and if we were looking to play kind of counter-attacking football, she'd be a very good option there. She knows where the goal is. She's confident. Similarly, Ellen Dolan, for me, she's a player, young, up and coming. She's just gone past the 19s. They need to start bringing her in around squads, but whether this is too important, well, not that she shouldn't be brought into important matches, but whether they kind of want to stick to what they know for this match, just to make sure it's a very steady camp. That's why I wouldn't be surprised if there's no shocks, but there are certainly names that should be there thereabouts. When you're talking about bringing in players, for me, Ellen Dolan as well, she can play in any position. She can play up front, she can play the 10, she can play 6, 8. I've seen her play centre back. She can be the best player in the league in any of those positions, but she needs experience. And it's up to them to start blooding players through. But in terms of how much Carla Ward has been looking outside of her core group, we don't know. We know she's brought in people from the Australian League before, so maybe her bandwidth has grown, that she's got more eyes on these games than we know, but they're not her eyes. So we'll
Yeah.
see.
We'll see. It'll be an interesting one. That announcement, I'm pretty sure, is around lunchtime on Wednesday. So there'll be plenty of reaction to it across Off the Ball and interviews with Carla. And then we will also obviously have build up to those Nations League games the week of them. It's been in 42 games, only once has someone other than Courtney started in goal for Ireland. And that was when she was suspended against Georgia. Last year was it that game? So yeah, it's a long record that we have with her in goal and of trusting her. I was actually thinking about it when I was watching the men's game at the weekend against Portugal, when Kelleher, particularly the penalty, but just a lot of the other saves that he made before that very unfortunate one towards the end when Portugal finally scored, about how accustomed we have gotten to in Irish football to having decent goalkeepers and how concerning it is. Like, most people will be worried about losing a striker or someone who could score goals, and we're like, no, need the ones who can not make sure that they do not go in the net. So that reignited my fear for Courtney. But you never know. Maybe she's been saving herself and Everton are happy with
maybe
that.
Maybe we won't be under that much pressure.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just score 3 goals off the bat,
yeah,
park the bus, and we'll be fine. And it'll all be good. But yeah, as Scarlett said as well, you can get tickets to that game in the Aviva. It's the same day as the presidential election, so make sure you get your votes in and your feet over to the Aviva.
Big day for the country.
Big day for the country. Massive. Big day for the women. Okay, let's turn our attention across the water to the WSL. And I won't lie, I actually normally there's like a very obvious game to go to whenever I'm looking at the results of a weekend to, you know, let's start with that. Loads of talking points. This weekend was a little bit difficult just because of the season all these different teams are in general. But I think maybe the 1-0 results between Arsenal and Chelsea are probably the most interesting because we have talked a lot about Tottenham in particular and also the potential for Brighton and the fact that Arsenal are struggling massively at the moment. So I'm going to start in that
the
general
fact
area.
Is that before the Chelsea Spurs match, they were the two top teams in London.
Yeah.
They were, but obviously Chelsea, like you look at the scoreline and you think, God, like they scraped by again, but there was an air of inevitability about it as well. Like they were hammering Tottenham, and to be fair, I was still impressed with Tottenham because they showed more resilience than what they would have done in previous years. You think back to those hammerings that Arsenal used to give them where they just leak goals, but the fact that they conceded, it took an absolute screamer from Ciara Walsh to kind of unlock them. Chelsea created a lot of chances, so I guess their only concern at the moment is
27 shots, 68 touches in the box.
Their only concern really is conversion rate at the moment. It's not like they're playing poorly. Like you say, trying to do it a 60 on the trot, it's not easy, but they're still up the top, unbeaten. And there's a lot to get excited by. You know, obviously they had Lucy Bronze coming back from injury, even though I think Carpenter has been brilliant for them down the right. And Alicia Thompson did everything but score. She came in, she started, and she showed what we have seen. We saw it against Ireland, you know, out touching that left sideline. She can take on down the line, she can cut in. But again, it was just her finishing that was a little bit off. So if that clicks, like it could be terrifying for everyone else, but it's not fully clicked yet in terms of conversion.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it was probably a game that summed up where the two sides, where Chelsea and Spurs, are at quite well, Scarlett, in that, you know, we've definitely seen a defensive courageousness from Spurs this year that we haven't in previous years. As Karen was saying, you know, he used to be seeing them leaking goal after goal after goal, or they would have like a result like the City result, and then that would kind of cause them to suddenly spiral. And we haven't really seen them turn around in the next big game, aka this Chelsea one, and stand up. And like there was a great Bethany England one where she literally just like put her body on the line. There was a massive piece in The Guardian as well at the weekend about how, you know, Martin Ho seems to have been able to inject a sort of confidence in this Spurs team that, okay, yes, they have their falters, but they're able to get back up for them in a way that they haven't in previous seasons.
Yeah, and I think, like, obviously they've got off to a great start as well. I think 3 clean sheets so far, which, like, isn't bad. They've had tough opposition as well. And I think it's just sort of typical now of opposition that Chelsea play, unless it's maybe United, City, Arsenal, that teams just decide to sort of sit off, which probably isn't the worst idea. Like, we've seen it against Leicester as well, just sort of that idea of banking up, being hard to beat. And Chelsea do manage to just scrape through every time. And we talk about that, I feel like, every week, about how they just manage to get over the line, and they always seem to get the 3 points that they need. But to be fair to Spurs, like, they did limit them. I know they created, what was it, something 20 something chances, but they were all kind of half chances and didn't really test the goalkeeper an awful lot. And as Karen said, like, it took a worldie of a strike from Ciara Walsh, and that, like, if you have any like interest in just sort of fucking midfield movement on the ball, that like shift of the ball to get it on her right to strike it is unreal. It took a bit of magic like to put Tottenham to the sword, but yeah, I think they have to be proud of their performance as well. Like, they kind of, I'd say they did exactly what Martin Hill wanted them to do, and it's just a bit unlucky. But again, if you're going to sit off, you need to be aggressive on the counter. You need to, give something up top when it does go up there. And I just think they didn't really offer much going forward. But again, probably playing for a nil-all draw. But there was, yeah, to be fair, it's one of those where it was a bit inevitable. So yeah, Chelsea just can't win, can't not win, really, in these games where we think that they're down and out. They just always seem to find a way.
Yeah, I hate how often we have to talk about this.
It's so repetitive.
It feels like the most basic point that we've come to make, but it's also like the only way you can really describe what's going on at Chelsea at the moment.
But also, teams are getting closer. They're just not at Chelsea's level yet.
Yeah.
And there will come a time. Well, we say there will come a time. Chelsea keep signing kind of marquee players. So, yeah.
Well, they're probably going to go into the next, like the January transfer window and do another major signing. Like that's just been the way of things. And even the
Well, good,
teams
because
that
it's pushing other teams.
I know, but even the teams that are trying to keep up, they're still not doing it to the same level that Chelsea are doing it. And I don't think can do it to the same level that Chelsea are doing it just in terms of resources and stuff. So it'll be very interesting. Like my thing with Chelsea is always just how they're able to keep that many star players happy and that there's not more disquiet at times over playing hours or, just general featuring. But it is what it is. Okay, we'll go to the other 1-0 game, and that was Arsenal scraping by, it has to be said, after Ole Sagar's own goal. Bit of a weird match as well, because Mpumi, who was down for about 10 minutes, now it was said after the game that she was knocked out with the ball hitting her head, but that I say she just has a concussion after the fact. It was, something that was caused by a ball hitting her rather than something else happening in her body. So that kind of added a bit of a weird edge to the game. 13 minutes out of time as well, which is never that pleasant, especially when you've had two big games just before it. I was so happy for a brief time in that Lyon match, and then De Morney absolutely destroyed any sense of happiness that I had. And again, you just saw a game where Arsenal got a goal and just seemed to take their foot off the pedal a little bit, and just sit back and kind of almost let Lyon come at them, and didn't really have anything all that creative to come back with. Which it kind of felt like the same in this match against Brighton too.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not that they played poorly, and I think Brighton defended admirably. Like Nedozi, she had a great game there on the right, but like Mpony, she had to do a goal line clearance as well. There was good moments for Brighton defensively, but they don't have that spark maybe that we saw, and I think the Champions League was a reflection of that. Just that felt like a. Oh, that was ye last season. That's not ye this season kind of moment for Arsenal. I think maybe everything that it took for them to get over the line in the Champions League, that there's a small bit of a hangover from that. They're not purring the same way they were. But they still got the win. They managed to get the win. It was obviously a deflected own goal, which was really unfortunate. But Smith was bright, and like again. Just lacking a little bit of spark. Maybe it's leadership. Maybe it's the fact that Williamson isn't there and she's more vocal on the pitch, and maybe it's something to do with that. But you're looking at Chelsea, who haven't been slipping up. And look, this is a good 3 points just to get 3 points because Brighton are going quite well. But if they're going to claw it back from here, yes, they're going to need more energy from somewhere. I just don't know where they're going to get it because they use their bench well. Players are generally playing okay, but it's hard to know what's missing. I don't know if you have any insights.
I feel like it's hard to say it's leadership. Like, I know how important Leah Williamson is to that squad, but it's still, it's not a mad young squad. The core players that are there have all been there for a long time. There's a lot of names who should be able to step up and offer that sort of guidance. And like, I'm sure Williamson as well isn't the sort of player that whenever she's not training, she isn't on the sidelines still trying to help out at sessions. But you look at
I'm
the
only saying that because I can't put my finger on what it
No,
is.
I
You know what I
know.
mean? I don't know why.
Yeah, but like even having like Kim Little in there, McCabe, those two players in particular are ones that have been in the senior leadership for a while. Beth Mead came on, also a leader in there. You even look at the likes of Wim Roy, who doesn't like play like consistent football, but still is seen as like one of the people in there that has brought it through a lot of young players as well. So it's just interesting. I don't really know what it is either. I think part of it may be a sort of a hangover scar. I think you might have some thoughts as well.
Yeah, I think it's pretty difficult as well. Like, we've seen their starting 11 change pretty drastically from week to week, like especially along that front line. Obviously they just have so many options. Like, you have Smith, Manham, Mead, Kelly, Ford, and then obviously Brewster up front, and I'm probably missing players, but it's as you said about Chelsea as well, like it's hard to keep those players happy. And in order to sort of get their like sort of chemistry and their free for one play up, it's difficult when that front line is changing every game. You're not sort of getting those that intricate play that you might do if your sort of front four is playing together every week. So I wonder if that's sort of a factor as well. Like, goals is probably the thing that they're lacking the most. Defensively, they're solid enough. They haven't leaked that pair of opportunities. And speaking about Leah Williamson there, like when she comes back in, that'll only solidify that even more. So I wonder if it's nearly that Renee Sledgers doesn't know her best team yet. I get, like, obviously with the midweek games against Leon, that it's you have to rest players, but I'm just not sure what their best sort of 11 is, and I'm not sure if they do either. So maybe if that clicks, you can sort of get more goals going in.
It's a bit of second season syndrome as well, I guess. Like, Slegers came in and there was a definite new manager bounce because obviously there'd been the A Deval thing had been coming with a while, so they got the bounce from that. But they had been in a little bit of a, they were in a tricky patch under him at times, as well, where it had plateaued a bit and maybe gone a bit stale. So they got the bounce and maybe they're just not up where they bounce to, and they have to kind of build to get to that point again.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what I said last week whenever me and you were chatting about it. Karen was, I don't think she knows her settled 11. And I think that has come. I get what you're saying there, Scarlett, about, having midweek Champions League. But I think that was also apparent even before the Champions League or like the other cup games and things started. So it'll be interesting to see, will they settle? I think it's a bit late for the season at this stage. And the game against Lyon didn't provide me much encouragement during the week, but
It's
I
mad to
will.
say 6 games in, but it's just because of how good Chelsea have been.
Yeah,
That
and also
feels
just how
like it's
few
too
games
late.
there are in this league as well. Okay, let's look at a team who are still going well, and that is Manchester United. Not a mad surprising result for them against Everton, but I do think it was interesting that once again, after that game, the name that everyone seemed to be talking about was Jess Park, and what a smart decision it was for her to move to Manchester United in particular. A lot of the English journalists were talking about the impact it's had on her career and how much more notice she's getting now, which is kind of what we were saying last week, Karen. So clearly they just listened to the podcast and steal all our ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just playing with freedom. I think she feels confident. I think she does feel like one of the main players in there. So she's taking players on, she's running with the ball, she's taking shots. Okay, she got lucky obviously with the deflection for her first goal, but the second goal was a great finish, and you know, great link up play with Ella Toon. And I'd say Ella Toon was kind of the leader once Russo left her. She was the player that everyone was looking to be the spark. But now they're nearly sparking off each other a little bit, and they're giving each other energy, and maybe
It
it's
does
helped
feel like a
them
bit of a heart
well.
back to what she had with Russo in terms of how they used to play
Yeah.
off each other.
And all the great teams, you kind of think it's not all down to one player. There's always been certain partnerships that stand out within those. So hopefully for Man United, this is one that goes strong. It's also helped by the fact that Mallard has shown form in front of goal that we hadn't previously seen. I still think there's more that she could do in terms of her finishing, but you know, she's top of the leaderboard in terms of goals scored in the WSL this season. So things are clicking a little bit up top for them. They work hard, defensively solid, brilliant goalkeeper. Poor goal that they conceded, you know, it's something we hadn't been used to seeing. No one reacted after Dolis Joyce's punch out, maybe not the clearest of punches, but they reacted from it really, really well. And look, it was a tough ask for Everton given their form as well. Obviously, they were playing at the Hill Dickinson Stadium, and there's really positive things going on for Everton off the pitch, and just the exposure and stuff that they're starting to get. But they are also a team that needs a result. They need to be able to do a little bit of what Leicester are doing and claw draws from games that they can. Now, I think Man United, City, Chelsea, Arsenal are maybe out of reach for Everton, and they're not going to target those games, but you always feel disappointed after going 1-0 up and then ending up on the receiving end of a 4-1, you know.
Yeah, looking at those teams that are kind of down that end of the table, Scarlet with Everton, you of course have West Ham and Liverpool again not winning. London City doing a very good job of making their case for staying up this season. Now, as Karen was saying, Liverpool going up against Man City may not necessarily be the sort of game that they're targeting, and they arguably did play a bit better than we have seen them this season, but the fact remains that they're still 0 points so far this season. Haven't, I suppose, clicked into gear. And for West Ham as well, you just don't really know where they're supposed to go from here.
Yeah, obviously the two teams are in a bit of bother now. And the longer that wait goes on, even for the first point, I think the harder it'll be to sort of get it. And yeah, really surprising, I think, from Liverpool. Obviously, a lot of those players are still obviously going through a lot. I'd say mentally, just about the passing of Matt Beard. And I've seen a few comments and tweets over the weekend, just people sort of highlighting that and saying that these players are human and it's going to take time for them to, you know, be able to perform again because they're going through so much as well. So much of them having been coached by him at some stage. So, I suppose that's something that we have to take into account as well. But, yeah, for West Ham, I mean, London City is probably a game that they should have targeted. And when you're conceding the goal that you are, you can't have too many complaints because it's simple stuff like Szczesny won't want to see that back. But apart from that, like London City were on top, they did dominate the game. West Ham had a few chances come the near end of the first half and then sort of started the second half, and then the goal just killed them off. And they didn't really seem to put up much of a battle after that, didn't really create much. So I think last year the likes of Osi and Martinez were sort of their main front runners, getting a lot of goals, but it just doesn't seem to be clicking this year. And I'm just not sure where their goals are going to come. And you can't be leaking goals like that in a game like that where it's so tight as well in the last half hour or so. So yeah, disappointing. And then obviously Liverpool were never really expected to get points off City, but when you go 1-0 up and then as well when you get that equalizer late on, it's
And
disheartening
the
for them.
offside as well.
The offside for Gemma Bonner, yeah. So it'll be a tough loss to take for them. But yeah, again, not a game where they would have targeted. So I probably disappointed with the way it ended, but
Yeah, I think Liverpool, they showed a bit more resilience, like you said, Kathleen, than what we'd seen before. But I thought City were really good
definitely
again.
in the second half, anyways. The first half was a bit diabolical, but
Yeah. But I thought City, you know, they keep going. They're a team that have a lot of energy now as well. Miedema hasn't picked up the goals, but you could see the positions when she's in that 10, she's really creating chances. And if they start and go in, they'll start winning these games by 4 or 5. And we spoke about Benny last week getting off the mark and winning them a game, and then she was there for the equalizer again. So she's that kind of player alongside Kasparov that's bringing kind of that youthful exuberance into the team that has loads of experience as well. And they kept going, and you kind of felt like they did deserve their goal. They were the better team. But I think for the first time in a few games, Liverpool would have more positives to take from that than what we've previously seen.
Well, we're nearly out of time here, but the other game of the weekend was Aston Villa and Leicester City, and that was a nil-all draw. And as you say earlier, guys, an important one for Leicester in terms of keeping themselves with momentum going, making sure they get points on the board. They now have 5 points. They're only one behind Villa, which could provide like a very good comfort blanket for them over the next couple of weeks and months, depending on how the rest of the season goes. Because you would have to say that for West Ham and Liverpool, it does look like they're a little bit far off getting the sort of points that they need. But for this week, guys, I will say thank you very much. Karen, congratulations once again on a brilliant career. Signing off as Captain Karen for one last time on the podcast. I do think it's still gonna like come into my language, I won't lie. I don't think it's the last I will be
We'll
hearing of
see.
this. Yeah, we'll see. If anyone has any suggestions, what is a better idea, send them my way, and I will give a prize. I will give an OTB prize to someone if they come up with one that we eventually end up using on the podcast. Scarlett, thank you very much for everything as well. The Koi Gig Pod and Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. And we will have plenty of reaction across the week to Carla Ward's squad on OTB Breakfast, the evening show, and then across our social platforms. And of course, we will be bringing you all the chat in the lead up to those games. And we will try and find some positivity between now and then. As to how
Good
we think
try.
they are going to go. But for this week, thank you all very much for listening, and we will chat to you all again very soon.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.